looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. And as always, I'm here to give you reason to feel better. And this show couldn't be the more perfect. And I know I probably say that a lot, but this one I really mean with the perfect show and topic to have you feel better for so many reasons. And it's all surrounding the most incredible creatures on this planet, from animals to reptiles to birds, but really to loved ones who we invite to be a part of our family and all those different levels that family members can really attain and get the love from and give. And so I couldn't have a more special, amazing guest. I'm so excited. This gets me so excited whenever I introduce you, David Essel. Oh, hello, David. Everybody, this is David Essel. I know you've heard him before on the show. I love having him on. He is, well, everything. I mean, international bestseller times. It's over 10 now. I know that. Addiction counselor, master life coach. And honestly, I read that you're a minister now. Was that new?
Oh, my gosh, Lisa, no. I've been a minister for a very long time. Yeah.
Oh, well, it jumped out at me this time.
I know. Well, and it's funny that you say that, because yesterday, what I do now, I used to be a pastor of a church. And then a number of years ago, I left because it was just time to change, and I became a traveling minister. So now what I do is I fill in for churches when the minister wants to go on vacation or has to take a day off. And yesterday, I was just at this beautiful church in St. Petersburg, Florida, where I did two sermons in the morning, and then in the afternoon did a seminar on how to experience God at a deeper level. So now that's been a big part of my life for a long time, you know, and it's exciting to be able to share that with you right now, because it is really an important part of who I am.
Yes, well, you know, it always came through about, you know, a belief and a faith, but it's, and this is an absolute compliment, but it never came across like everybody's got to be this way and do this, and you just did it with love. So I guess that's why, you know, it just came across as pure love. So,
and that's so good that you felt that, because, you know, when I became ordained, I was ordained as an all-faith minister. And what that means is, and some people call it an interfaith minister, but what it means is that we will work with anyone, whatever their faith is, but we do not tell people what their faith should be, what their path to the higher power of God should be. We don't say that this religion isn't that great and this one's better. None of that stuff. We just say, welcome, come in, you know, and let me help you if it's just to try to find a deeper sense of peace, or if it's to really create an amazing connection with an angel or God or Christ or whoever it is, Buddha, that you're into. You know, I purposely chose that path because I wanted it to be so inclusive. I did not want to get on that exclusivity train where so many religions and so many ministers and pastors are trying to convince us that there's only one way. In our work, Lisa, there's a thousand ways to God. And we just want you to find the one that feels best to you.
Oh, my gosh, David, I think that could be a title of your next ebook or something, A Thousand Ways to God. I love that.
Yes.
Well, actually, speaking of ways to God or in heaven and angels and whoever, anybody that's their faith, I would love to just start the show and really share with people that something very – I'm going to say special because it's a bond that was so special. It was created for you, and it transitioned that bond. And you lost someone very – I'm going to say lost. I can't say lost because I really feel like, you know, that the energy of all our loved ones is never lost. It's just somewhere else. And you did say goodbye to a very dear friend, your little boy, Saint, who was – he was a special kind of puppy dog. What was the breed?
He was an Italian Greyhound.
Yes, an Italian Greyhound. And so as soon as I heard of his passing, and I have extreme condolences to you, and happiness to share with you, too, that you had that life, Yvonne. That's why I was so I had to do the show, and because I know that you're the man to be able to come on and share with people the beauty of having, you know, finding deeper peace even in a connection with animals and with your puppies and with your dogs and your cats and everything.
Yeah, Lisa, yesterday was the first time during my afternoon seminar at the church that I was able to verbally tell the story of Saint. And it wasn't that easy. You know, I had some rough moments telling it, but I know that the more I speak about it, the more comfortable I'll come with his passing. You know, I've written about it, and I've shared it on social media, and the responses have been just incredible of, you know, how many people really feel when you know, a lot of times if you've never had a dog or a cat or even a turtle that you fell in love mm-hmm. with, it's hard for non-animal people to get into the heart and soul of people that have animals and or have had them but love them, because a lot of people have a tendency to think it's just a dog, it's just a cat, it's just mm-hmm. a squirrel, it's just a whatever. But for everyone else that, you know, has really had a connection with animals, we know that, it, you know, someone said to me the other day that when they lost their pets, it was worse than when they lost a family member.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, you know, animal lovers understand that probably. People that aren't probably go, okay, that's pretty crazy. But they do bring us something. And, you know, my love is for adopting rescue animals, Lisa.
That, yes.
And, you know, I have to give my mom credit. When we were little kids, when we had a ton of animals because she was an animal freak. But everyone we got had to be rescued. It had to be from a shelter.
Right.
And so I was raised in this indoctrination that I think is one of the most beautiful things my mom taught us, is that there are so many animals of all types that need and desire love and to be rescued. So I came, you know, from that family upbringing. And then in 1990, I adopted my first Greyhound, which was a former racing Greyhound off the track.
Oh.
And she was 2.5 years old when I rescued her. She had never been in a house before. And so it was amazing. I had 3 little steps leading up to my front door. I had to carry her, Lisa. She had never seen stairs before.
I
finally got her into the house, she went running and smashed right into a sliding glass door.
Oh, my God.
Because she had never seen a glass door before, you know. So I say to people, I mean, I had so many amazing stories about my rescues because, and here's something that you know, I ask people to slow down before you rescue or adopt a rescued animal. And that is, we need to understand they have a history, most of them, that is not good.
Yeah.
And it's a history of abuse or neglect, and that's how they get into these rescue organizations. And after my big Greyhound passed, I decided to get a small Greyhound. And the reason why, Lisa, is because in my counseling office, I wanted this little boy, his name was Saint, as you mentioned. You know, he was so sensitive, so incredibly sensitive, that I wanted to bring him into the office to work as a service dog. And for the first 4 years I had him, Lisa, it was amazing. When someone would come in and they would be emotional, little Saint would get right up off the floor, jump up, and lay right down next to them.
Oh.
And then if I had a client that came in that was, you know, just like exuberant and happy because they wanted to share something good that happened, he would let them have their space. Like, he was so freaking intuitive, right?
Yeah.
That he could sense when he was really needed, and he could sense when I'm just going to hang out over here.
Yes, yes. He's very respectful of the energy that's going on and the need, because even if somebody came in and they were distraught or emotional and sad, he wasn't like, oh, you know, give them their space. He's like, they need comfort. They need connection, and maybe not too much of it. I'll sit down here, you know, put your space. You mentioned something really important, and it brings a question to me. If so, I'm a rescuer too. I love rescuing. I'll go to the shelters. I'll rescue an animal in need. Lots of cats in my life, And mm-hmm. when I remember, you know, having friends have a conversation, say, well, oh, I want this kind of breed, this kind of animal, but I want it as a puppy because I want to train it because they're, because a lot, they do come with a history. And how does one say they really go, oh, I do want to rescue one, but I just don't think I can handle the history of an abused or neglected or abandoned animal. How do we get past that?
Well, it's a beautiful question, Lisa. And one of the things that I share is that this is a reason I love like rescue organizations. You know, there's Italian Greyhound rescue organizations. There's the racing and Greyhound organizations. There's Beagle rescues. There's
Spin.
Shepherd rescues.
Yeah, poodles. Standard poodles.
And
Spin.
Poodles,
yeah.
Right. I mean, almost every breed has, you know, an organization that is rescuing those that are abused. And so my first recommendation is if you're going to, you know, get a pet is make sure when you're talking to rescue, make sure when you're talking to the organization or it could be your local shelter that you ask them about their past history. Mm-hmm. If you've never adopted a dog or rescue or a cat or anything else and you go and you fall in love with one, but the people at the shelter or the rescue don't have much information on this dog's background, I would say wait. If you've never rescued, wait until you find a dog or a cat or whatever animal you're looking for that the people who are fostering or holding that animal really know their background. And why it's so important is that, you know, like a really good rescue organization or a really good shelter will be able to tell you that, you know, that dog is great, but it doesn't get along with children, or that dog is great, but it doesn't get along with other dogs. But that dog is great, but it doesn't get along with cats. And so, you know, you really want, if this is your first rescue, you really want to know so that you know what you're getting into. When I adopted, well, Kona, my greyhound off the track, I mean, her history was just like almost all of the greyhounds. She had no life outside of being in a crate, eating or running. There was no affection, no anything. So, when she came to me, of course, you know, I said she was afraid of steps and ran into sliding glass doors, and it was an amazing experience for me. But, you know, she would jump at anything. And if you put your hand up to pet her, she would move away. And it took me, and then this is, you know, and I'm, no, but this isn't all bad news. It's just life. It took me 2 years of working with Kona before she would not jump at the sound of a car door, or she wouldn't back away when I put my hand up to pet her. Now, that sounds like a long time, you know, but Lisa, I'll tell you what, it was worth every second. Because after 2 years, she turned into this just most trusting, most loving, beautiful dog. And then with Saint, who just passed, I have a little bit of a different story with Saint. When I got him, I found out that he had a male owner, and he was locked in a room by himself for 18 hours a day.
Aww.
So he was void of any emotional connection, any emotional touch. And when I got him, the first day I got him, I put him in the bathroom because he was kept running away from me. You know, it was like, oh, my God, I want to love you. And the dog is running to the other bedroom. And then I go into the bedroom. And you know, it's like, hey, dude, I just want to hug you and love you. But because of his background, when on my very first night, I put him in the bathroom with a baby gate.
Okay.
But he looked at that baby gate as if it was a door.
Oh.
And he immediately flipped out and started barking and crying and whining because it reminded him of being in a confined space.
Right.
Just the baby gate reminded him of a doorway. And it was crazy. And I took the baby gate away, and he laid right down. It was wild. And so I had to learn, you know, with him. Now, here's something, and you have to understand that rescues have quirks. And so, you know, Saint was, even though he was only a small dog, about 15 pounds, he was not a cuddler unless you were a little girl.
Oh.
He like felt. Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, I just want to say, like, it's totally different, the complete opposite of a grown male man. Like, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're 100% correct. So he felt safe with little girls, and I was helping to raise a couple little girls at the time, and he would let them do anything. They could pull his tail, I mean, I wish they would hug his neck, Lisa, and he would just stand there forever. If I tried to hug him, he would give me 60 seconds exactly. And at the end of 60 seconds, he'd start squirming, and I just learned to let him be himself. You know, I just said, okay, Saint may never change, but he brought so many other cute qualities. So, you know, every night and this is from the very first day, just that I brought him home, every night I come home, he would look in my bag for part of my lunch that I didn't eat.
Oh.
And so it turned into this cutest thing. Eventually, I would come home, and he would be waiting at the door, and he'd start barking and looking at my bag and coming over to the bag. So we had this little nightly ritual that I would purposely save something in one of my plastic containers of food. And I wouldn't eat it all because I just wanted to see the joy on his face, you know, and he would go crazy. But when I went to pick him up and to hold him, he would do like a forearm shiver. Like his front legs would come out and he would put them against your chest so you couldn't bring him closer than the length of his legs.
Oh, yes, it's a little tethering, you know, right? Just in those stories alone, I just have to highlight to everybody the two things that I would love when we come back from commercial I want to dive into. But you, just the very story about you getting excited to start thinking about bringing food now, like, oh, even if I could eat my lunch, I'm not going to, or I'm going to make sure I have. It gave you a different kind of, it added a purpose in your life, actually. And when we come back, I really want to talk about how it's funny how the turnaround is not just the animal being rescued, it can be the people being rescued by rescuing and creating that purpose in our lives. So
yes.
Everybody, when we come back in 2 minutes, commercials, we're going to talk more about the purpose, how animals can bring purpose into our lives.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
For those times when you're looking for insight and additional tools to living your most elevated life, there's no better place to turn than Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Join me, Laura Brown, each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations, live on-the-air readings, and tools to help you build your most aligned, most abundant, and most delicious life.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Light on Living here with me, Lisa Berry, and my very special guest, David Essel. And I've decided to, and I just want to dedicate this entire show to Saint, David's sweet little boy, who is a cutie pie, who just recently transitioned. And David, you reminded me of this one story, because as you're sharing about, you know, we sometimes get lonely, or we don't know, we just get frustrated with what's our purpose here. And I remember meeting this one man, he was in his 80s, and he just looked so forward to feeding this little chipmunk out on his deck. And he didn't own it. He didn't do anything. But you know what? And I remember one day he goes, oh, you know, little Chippy's late today for his breakfast. And I got out here and I made sure that, you know, I left. And it was so important to him. It gave him a reason every day to get out of the house, to get mobile, to make sure he bought those peanuts, to have a little breakfast with this little creature that has so much life. You must have seen this, because you do. I love what you've said. Don't shop, adopt. Is that what, did I say it right? I love that.
Soul. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And when you must have seen so many wonderful stories as well as your own from this, but is that something that is a really common thing about people just coming to life and having a connection?
I think there's a couple things, you know, when the rescue animal feels safe with you, and I'm going to just keep saying this, it could take 30 days, it could take a year. You know, you really have to have a lot of patience. But when they start to feel safe with you, it is one of the greatest gifts that we will ever receive from that pet. When they decide that they can trust us, it's just this, and they're going to do it differently. You know, like I always thought because he was little would be a cuddle dog. You know, I thought I'd be able to pick him up and cuddle him and squeeze him tight and all those kind of things you like to do with little dogs. But, you know, that wasn't him. So then I started to appreciate what he did bring to the table that was unique, you know, such as, like, you know, getting all excited when I came in the door, not necessarily for me, you know, I just had so much joy watching him have joy. And then the other thing, Lisa, now, you know, when he died a couple weeks ago, he was almost 13, and every night at around 9:30 or quarter to 10, now this has been going on for 7 years, is that he would come to me to play. Now, what that meant, the way he played was he wasn't like a fetch and bring it back. He was throw me a little a chew bone and then chase me all over the house. He loved it to be chased. He wouldn't play catch. He wouldn't bring anything back to you. But man, oh man, at 9:30, quarter to 10, every night, doesn't matter how tired I am, he got this energy and we had a blast. My personal assistant, Mary Lou, took care of him really greatly for the last year, especially. And he had no, you know, he was on thyroid medicine, but he had no illnesses that we knew of. You know, he had no conditions that we knew he might be close to dying. And I think, you know, when that happens, it's an interesting scenario. There's no good way to lose someone you love so deeply. Some people say that having them go unexpectedly is the best way. And other people believe that they wanted time. You know, they just wish they had a couple more days as their dog was, you know, passing or getting ready to pass. They wish they knew that they were sick so that they could, you know, hold them more and love them more and all that stuff. And then there are some people that, you know, the dog goes through a really, or a cat or any kind of rescue goes through a really prolonged death. And of course, that's so painful for everyone. With saying, you know, it was a bizarre way that he died, Lisa, because the night before he died, he was the same dog. He was at quarter to 10 at night running around the house like crazy. You know, on the day that he passed, I was on a radio show. And I was doing an interview with a host, Mitch, out of Texas. And we were going strong into it. And Saint was sitting not more than 5 feet away from me. And about halfway into the interview, all of a sudden, there was this really bizarre screams kind of a sound. And the radio host said, what was that? Because we're live on the air. And I said, I don't have any idea. And I turned to my right and looked, and there was Saint. He had lifted his head up, and it just dropped. And I didn't know it at that second, but that noise was him. And it was a scream coming out of his mouth. And of course, I throw the phone down, and the phone is still live, and I'm screaming, Saint, please don't die. Please don't leave me. And, you know, the host is hearing it. The producers are hearing it. I mean, they ended up cutting the line off, which I thought was great because I was screaming forever. And I grabbed him, and I ran into the bedroom, and I started doing CPR. Mary Lou was there, thank God, and she ran next door to get the vet. The vet wasn't there. She came back and started doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation while I was doing the chest compressions. And at one point, Lisa, we thought he came back. Like there was this little spark that we both saw and said, oh, my God, he's going to make it. And then, you know, he didn't. And then, but let me share this thing that, you know, how incredibly wise I believe our pets are. I had said to you today multiple times that he was not a cuddler and he would not let me, only if you were a little girl, you could cuddle with him. But other than that, he was having nothing to do with it from most adults.
Right.
And the night before he died, he was standing in front of me. I'm sitting outside and he's standing in front of me. And when I'm sitting outside and he's standing in front of me, it's usually because I'm eating something. You know, he intuitively knew. I mean, I could be anywhere, and he would know I had something to eat. And, but this day, he was just standing looking at me. So I said, wow, do you want me to pick you up, Saint? And he just stood there. And I picked him up, and I held him like a baby. Mm-hmm. I was seated in a chair. And I just said, held him just like a little baby. And Lisa, this is something I believe is so such an important part of the story. He laid there for over 30 minutes. Now, I have had him for 8 years. He's 13. In the 8 years, I had 30 minutes combined probably holding him.
Yeah.
And I was so shocked. And I said to Mary Lou, I said, hey, please take a picture of this. Like, this is so weird, you know, that he's letting me do it. And it went on and on and on. And finally, after about 30 minutes, you know, he kind of just looked at me and stretched a little bit. And then it was time for him to get down. I have no proof of what I'm going to say next, but I believe it with all my heart to be as factual as you and I on this call right now.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that Saint was letting me know that would be the last time.
It's absolutely, I believe it. I don't know how either. I don't know why either, but it's like, do you think that they're called, like that he knew he did his job with you, or maybe his job was done, or I guess we don't ever get to have that conversation.
Yeah. And no, we don't. Maybe we don't. But, you know, when I came to several days later, because it's still trauma.
Oh.
I mean, even today, I can feel my emotions, you know, really coming to the surface. But, you know, it was several days later that it dawned on me the gift that he had given me, that 30 minutes, that, you know.
Yes. Daddy always wanted this. He wanted that snuggle. You want to give that to
him. Yeah.
It's so, they are so giving, and that's what I've always felt with animals. Like, yes, it's in their need. They want to have their toys and their food. Of course, they can seem like they, you know, that's what they want, but they really, that connection means so much. The minute you actually kind of even support that by saying when both of your little guys, had no touch, no friendliness, no family, no love. Mm-hmm. It really affected them. It broke their spirit. But it's still there. The spirit was still there. And so I have a question about this is, I have a lot of people that will come up to me and like, so my kid, I have Bengals and one is a we'll call it adoption. It's not really rescue, but she needed rescue from a place that wasn't suitable for her. But I did purchase her, but it was, you know, she was almost 3 years old. And then I have my boy Brinks. Now they're Bengals. And every cat's different, but if they're sleeping, I can snuggle up with them, but they don't want me to pick them up and hold me either. They don't like that with anybody. But then you have some people that, but yes, I know. But you know what? I'm so happy just to be able to go snuggle with them. Like, it's fine. But then there's a lot of people that have told me, and I get very frustrated, of course, they'll say, you just got to do it. You have to teach them how you want to treat them. And that upsets me a lot, of course, and I would never do that. But can you share with us how, like, for life coaching or something, how understanding what they need, and I love that you said you learned to appreciate what he was willing to share with you, like the wiggling of the tail and the body are chasing me around. How can we help the people that feel like they need to control or train? Yes, training is important, but, you know, force them into making the animal the way they want them.
Well, this is, you know, one, I think this is one of the greatest teachings that I've been trying to share with people ever since I started adopting dogs, Lisa, is that we have to allow them to come to us. We have to allow them. Now, there are certain things, like let's say that you have to have a lot of compassion for. You know, there's a lot of animals that are deathly afraid of thunder and lightning.
Yes.
And, you know, and to try to break them of that is going to, it's not going to be healthy for you or the pet. Mm-hmm. And so there's thunder shirts. There's certain things
yes.
out there that, right? And I got to tell you something interesting. So I never got saying hated the thunder and lightning
oh.
until the last year. He was able to handle it better in the last year of his life for some reason. But what I found was, you know, and remember, he was a small dog, but if it was thundering out, I would put him in one of his beds that, you know, we had like four beds around the house with him. I would put him in one of the beds, Lisa, and then I would hold the bed really tight against his body and mine.
Oh.
And it was incredible how much that decreased his anxiety, and it's a very similar feeling to what people have told me that dogs have when you put a thunder shirt on them. A thunder shirt is very tight material,
yeah.
and it gives them a sense of security. So things like, you know, thunder with my first dog, you know, they jumped at the sound of a car door shutting.
Fireworks, yeah.
Yeah, fireworks, oh my God, those are horrendous. But I think we need to get more on their level, which is why it's so helpful if you can find out about their background.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find out the environment they came from, and you know, there's a lot of rescues that just come because people didn't realize that they had as little time as they did. So they get a dog, they don't have time for it, and they give
yeah.
up, and the dog doesn't have any real scars. There's a
yeah.
little cat or anything, right? And there's plenty of those that don't have real scars. But we don't want to force them to do things. You know, get an animal trainer to help us. I saw something about a year ago that I just couldn't believe, and it was an animal trainer that was screaming at a dog and swinging at a dog. It never hit it. But I went over and said, what the heck is going on? And the owner said, well, you know, our dog is misbehaving and he has behavioral problems. He doesn't listen to us. So we hired, and I said, look, I wouldn't go in that direction at all. Your dog, I can't stop you, but that is not the way that I would have a trainer treat any of the dogs that I've ever had.
Absolutely. The voice.
No,
actually help to give it that a voice to a better
yeah.
way. Yeah.
You know, and we've got to be smart. And you also have to think of this. Now, they had a golden retriever. If you're going to have
sweet.
A golden retriever, you better. And they were an older couple, which to me, that is a terrible match for a dog.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, like one of the things, and I'll be honest with you, why I love Greyhounds so much is because they're so mellow. And I work really hard. I work really long hours. And my dogs are always taken care of. They're walked 3 times a day, which I think is the minimal that we should be walking our dogs,
mm-hmm.
as an FYI yeah. to our audience.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I really
I walk my cat, so.
I love it.
Actually, David, I'll tell you, the Bengals are one of the top breeds that are surrendered because they require an extreme amount of stimulation, interaction, like not just playing, but and I love them the most because you'll love this one, David. You and I are similar because they talk the most. I'm forever talking,
yes.
and they're talking back to me. That's a conversation, communication. But matching
oh
a breed is very important. I love
yeah.
that you said that. Like background check,
oh.
Environment, breed matching, like energy levels.
Yes. Yes, and if you get a Labrador or a Golden Retriever or something, you know, you better have the time to be playing catch and to wear them out because
yeah.
they have a ton of energy. And if that energy isn't directed in a good way, that's when they start tearing things up at home. That's when they start
yeah.
you know, misbehaving, quote unquote. One of the major reasons is because they have that high energy. So, you know, when I was looking at breeds, I did the same thing you just said, Lisa. I did my research. I found out that Greyhounds were very mellow. And I want, whether the dog is in my office or at home with me, you know, I don't want to have to be entertaining the dog like you do with a lot of the Labradors and Golden Retrievers,
yeah.
Because they have so high energy, they want to be entertained a ton. And I'm making a generalization here, but it's a pretty accurate one.
Yeah, so, yeah, agreed.
You know, it's like Jack Russell Terriers, another dog that needs a ton of stimulation, a lot of exercise. And then you can go to some other breeds that, you know, really need very little. And it should be, first of all, you know, what do I have time for? In reality, what type of a personality match would be best for me with an animal? And you can talk to people at pet stores. You can go online and Google. Let me take that last statement away. You can talk to people at rescues and adoption agencies. I'm not a fan of pet stores at all.
Yeah.
But you can talk to them and you can Google and find out who might be best. Like, I have only a little bit of time on a daily basis. Yes, I could squeak in 3 30-minute walks. That's about all I can do. Then you find a dog that doesn't need a ton of exercise. The funny thing about the big greyhounds, the race on the tracks that we're trying to get all the tracks closed down in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing a pretty good job of it so far, but they don't need a lot of exercise.
Yeah, I find that fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating? Now, here's a dog that is bred to race, and yet when they retire them off the track, and the reason they're retired is because they're not usually, it's because they're not making the owner money. That's the number one reason they retire greyhounds so young. But you get a greyhound, and the greyhound doesn't desire or need to have a lot of exercise or a lot of stimulation. Now, I still recommend a minimal of 3 30-minute walks a day.
You can putter, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but for most greyhounds, that's plenty. And then, of course, they want to be loved on once you get their trust.
Yes. No, David, we're going to sneak away to commercials, but with the most important question, I want everybody to hang on when we come back. I'm going to ask David what he feels and, is an appropriate or how to know if it, when the time has come to get adopt a new pet after losing a dear friend. So, David, that's going to be our question. We come back for you.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Minds connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me, connected to us.
The Connection App, the perfect way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Oh, you guys, thanks for hanging out with us. We are here with David Essel, and I'm your host, Lisa Berry, talking about my favorite thing, animals of all kinds, and the connections we have with them. And David, it's such an important question. Everybody deals with grief differently. There's no one answer, but when we have such this important, crazy soul love, and bond with someone who leaves and they're no longer with us, and we're sad, is it healthy to rush out and go get one right away, or should we have a grieving time? Like, what's your opinion on that?
That's a really tough question to answer.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say there really should be a period of grieving. And how do we know when the grieving has gotten to a place that we might be ready? Because we want to make sure. And what I shared with you earlier today, and what I believe to be true, is that when we can talk about our pet that passed and we're not breaking down, every sentence or two, or we're not like choking back tears as we continue to talk about them, then to me, that's a sign that if you really want another pet, you might be ready. Now, I'm not talking about, you could go 6 months, and if you and I talked about saying 6 months from now, and if you mentioned something that might trigger me, I still might have tears in 6 months, right? So it's not that we're looking to be perfect, but when you can verbalize, I mentioned yesterday at, during the church service was the first time I actually told this story of Saint, and it took me a while to get it out. Mm-hmm. And eventually, during the lecture, I said to people, I'm going to ask you to hang in there with me. I'll be able to say the words in a minute. I have to catch myself here.
Mm-hmm.
And because I couldn't speak, I was really getting choked up, tears were flowing, and I had to respect that. I knew that the first time I said that in public would be difficult, but then today, the day after, I'm sharing it with you, and yes, I felt some deep emotion, but it isn't what it was yesterday. And so that is what I would say, is that if you can talk about your pet with love, and yes, we miss them, but remember these cute times, or remember when she or he did this, or remember when we can start to move into that gratitude, Lisa, I think we're getting closer to going back out and adopting. The one thing I will say here, two things, is that number one, I don't think it's a good idea to immediately get a new pet. I don't. I think you need to give yourself a little space to breathe, to feel the sadness, to feel the pain, to work through that. So I wouldn't say that it's ever probably a good idea to race out. And if you have a loved one or you have a child that lost a pet, like, don't go out behind their back and bring something home.
Right.
You might think it's a great idea. I almost did that a couple times with my parents. When my parents' dog, their last dog died, even though they were 70, I'm thinking, oh, my God, mom and dad need another dog, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't. They made the decision that it was too hard. They had, they had and lost so many dogs over their years.
Yeah.
And now they're both in their 90s. It would not have been appropriate for me to do that because it wasn't their desire.
Right.
So try not to be that rescuer that goes out and surprises your friend or your child or your partner, with a pet really soon after that pet has died. And then the other thing I want you to think about is that if you're in that grieving mode, look around at your lifestyle. If there's any kind of major changes coming up, that tells me hold off before you adopt again.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a major change in a relationship, hold off before you adopt. If there's a major change in where you live, hold off. If there's going to be a major change in 6 months with a new job, hold off.
Yes.
In other words, you don't want to bring an adopted, rescued animal into an environment that could be stressful for you and obviously them.
Right.
So if there are big events, hold off. Let's say that, your pet passes today and, your best friend has a wedding in a month. Hold off. Like you're going to be gone. You're going to be excited. And, we could come up with all kinds of scenarios Lisa, as to why to hold off. But I think what you want to do is make sure you can talk about your pet with love without losing it emotionally, and that there isn't any major changes coming your way. If you look at those two things, I think you'll be in a good position to decide when it's right for you.
That was an awesome answer for not, you know, thinking at first it was going to be so tough. That was so helpful. And I'm going to flip that around, actually, because I do have a situation going on right now with clients of mine. They had lost, it's over a year now, a year and a half ago, they had lost, you know, one of their dogs, and they're not over it yet. Like, they're still very, very upset. And I wondered, what kind of help do people have who really have long-term grieving?
Okay, that's a great question. If you go onto Facebook and if you Google animal grief or grief support for animals, there are a lot of different groups out there. You know, there's this really beautiful poem that you know of called The Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always recommend, and it's funny because, you know, when Saint died, I mean, the support on social media was so amazing.
Yeah.
But I'd say probably about an hour after I posted, you know, the photo of me holding him after he had passed, a woman posted the Rainbow Bridge poem underneath his picture, and I was so grateful because I had forgotten about it.
That poem
is so gorgeous, and, you know, in my stress and in my grief, I had totally forgotten, and just reading it brought me a little bit of healing. It's obviously not going to heal. Just reading something one time is not going to heal you, but it really helped. So, you know, and if you're not on social media, I would Google grief support for animals in your area.
Right.
And you might find a meetup group or some other type of organization that is not far from you that has tools. And then go to Amazon.com and Google how to grieve the loss of a dog or a cat or whatever specific animal.
Well, what came up for me for that with you specifically is because I wondered, now this is just me, doing my speculation, but you deal with people, couples in codependent relationships. And so I wonder, it just came to mind with these particular people, did they perhaps have a codependent relationship with their dog? And now there's no, kind of having closure because, you know, in people in a relationship, they go to counseling or coaching with you and they can work on that, figure it out. Whereas now there's no opportunity. Is it possible to have a codependent relationship with an animal?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a woman that that contacted me after posting about Saint, telling me that, you know, she doesn't go out on weekends, that she is strapped to her dog, that she doesn't think it's healthy. She was asking me the very question that you're asking me. And you know, the response to everyone is this, is that when you first get an adopted animal, you really do want to spend weekends with them. You really do want to tie down to them. You know, like in the beginning, it should be codependent because your job is to earn their trust. Their job isn't to earn a damn thing from you. That's not their job. They don't need to earn a damn thing. It's us that we need to earn their trust. And the way we earn their trust, especially in the first 6 months of having a rescue, is by being in their presence more often than not. So, you know, when she said to me that she had had this pet for a long time and that she had decided not to travel and not to do this, now that's unhealthy to me. You know, I think if you have cats, you have fish, you have dogs, you have anything, and that you choose never to travel and not to have a life because you want to be, I think that's a little unhealthy.
That might be me. No.
What's that?
That might be me, I think.
but we do, you know, and so you have to find like a really great pet sitter, or you find a really great there's places in Florida, and I'm not sure, you know, where else they might be, but I'm sure they're all over the world where that. They're centers. It's not a kennel, so the dogs aren't put in kennels. There's two big rooms at these centers, and one room is for the big dogs, and one room is for the little dogs, and they have staff in the rooms at all times.
I love that. Like a playroom, like when we could take our kids, you know, to a playroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, Lisa. And so, And with both Saint and Kona, you know, I used to drop them off at a facility, and they loved it. You know, people loved them. They were coddled. They were adored. And then they got a chance to be with other animals. And so I think it can be really healthy to be able to expose them and not be codependent. But the other thing, too, is talking about your clients. I think, you know, time heals nothing.
I love
and this
that.
Is a
Thank
really,
you.
And yeah, this is a really important message. Time heals nothing. So, you know, if you're not doing specific grief work in writing to help you process your emotions and your feelings, and you're waiting, well, you can wait for 10 years, and that doesn't mean you're going to be ready or healed if you're not doing the work in between. You know, and so sometimes people say, well, what do you mean grief writing? And so I'll say, you know, write letters to your pet about how they changed you and what they brought into your life in specifics. Write letters to them saying how much you miss them. Write letters to them telling them that you hope that they're doing great now that they're over the Rainbow Bridge. You know, like I love to get my clients actively involved in the grief process versus waiting for it to somehow magically disappear.
Right.
Because it doesn't.
You know, you just made me totally think of, you know, you can get a pack of gift cards, and they'll have thank you cards, I miss you cards, traveling cards. And that is such a fun thing. If that, I loved on one of your posts, you said, you know what, don't just reach out to somebody who's lost their pet that one time, they continually reach out. Well, how cool would it be if I just lost one of my little guys here, if somebody gave me a little pack of these gift cards, said, you know what, go write a thank you card to them. Then the next day, write, I miss you card. Then the next day, write, you know, traveling, because one is transitioned card. Like, that'd be such a fun little helpful gift to do that grief writing, because you're writing it.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? And if you really want to take it to the nth degree, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, put your animal's first name only. Do not put a return address, and drop it in the mail.
No. That is so, what a fun activity. Like, it's really taking it to, yeah, the experiencing some kind of transition healing. I love that grief writing. I love what that said, and the time heals nothing. Just before we run out of time, I just wondered, now I'm putting you on the spot here. You mentioned that there are, I can't remember what my word is now, petitions and something being signed or trying to help to get the greyhounds to no longer race, like to get them off the tracks.
Yeah.
Is that something that we can offer to people right now? They can go to somewhere to support that?
Yes, if you Google End Greyhound Track Racing, if you Google that, you'll find organizations all over that are in the same place that we are in Florida, and that is we are successfully defeating the greyhound racing industry. In the last several years, recently, some major tracks in Florida have been shut down. The goal is to shut every one of them down. Now, the great side of that is that, you know, and the reason why we want this is because they are not treated with love. They're not treated with kindness at 90% of the tracks. No matter what the owners tell you, they're lying. It's not a healthy environment. As a matter of fact, in the state of Florida, almost every greyhound that is taken off the track because they're not making money, so the track owners will give them to adoption agencies to adopt them out. Every one of them has a very severe case of hookworm in the state of Florida. I was talking to the Greyhound Rescue, one of them, last week, and I was talking to her about, you know, how are things going and how are we doing with shutting the tracks down. And she said, well, there's less and less dogs that we have to adopt out, which is a good thing, but they've all gotten really sick. And they have 10 that they're adopting out at this one agency that I spoke to. And she said, David, every one of them are filled with hookworms. We have new procedures that we're doing to eradicate them. Yeah. But, you know, it's because they're not cared for, Lisa.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're in these filthy environments, and then they get adopted out. And, you know, but here's again, a great shelter or a great rescue organization will be able to tell you about things you need to know regarding the breed.
So the great thing here is to partner up, talk to some people with adoption, rescue. Everybody go to that endgreyhoundtrackracing.com, I believe, and we'll post that. But really talk. Don't go to pet stores. Make your connections with the other people, learn about them, and then open your heart to be patient and understanding to new animals.
I love it.
Oh, absolutely. I could just speak with you for hours on anything, literally. But it doesn't have to be books. It's just a love that you come out with and share people and show them that there is a possible way. They don't have to be alone. They can be connected, and everybody has – this is an opportunity for everybody, animals alike. So thank you. This has been David Essel with us. We love having you.
Lisa, it's been a blast as always.
Okay, everybody. We're going to put a whole bunch of stuff on Facebook, links and pictures and stories. And if you want to share a story about your loved one, we would love to hear about that. Any first stories. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. Bye, David. We'll see you soon. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hey, bye.